Maybe a little bit early, huh? Is that okay? A little early? No, I never happen what I want. The opposite of that. Whatever I don't want, that will happen. So I opened the text. It's a page 52, heartfelt advice. Heartfelt advice. It's called Purification and Accumulation of Merit. We're going to talk about that today. Actually, this title is good because whether our practice is successful or not, measured by how much you purify yourself and then how much you accumulate wisdom and merit. So that really measures the whole thing. And when we say ordinary beings, fail to accumulate merit and wisdom, then what we're talking about is ordinary beings not able to purify her negative karma and not able to accumulate merit and wisdom. That will be the ordinary beings who are not very successful in their spiritual matters, or you can just say spiritual matter, but also their religious field. Religious field, their religious idea is really, they think they are religious person, but reality, there's nothing to do with the religious at all, unfortunately. I know many people show them that they are a very religious person, but the reality, religious may not have to do anything with her or him. So, again, your successful practice and purification, your successful accumulating merit and wisdom, regardless your name of religion or not, then you are very successful, basically. You're doing something right. So this is page 52. While cultivating our attitude and behavior towards wholesome actions, we know wholesome action is a good, but we also not able to do well wholesome actions. Because anything to do with the wholesome, it will be 10 times to 100 times harder than doing unwholesome things. Unwholesome things comes naturally, very easily. Well, wholesome things that requires effort and discipline. It is truth. To build the house, you might not ever to build by yourself. To destroy the house, you may be very happy to do it and easy to do it by yourself. And that is the analysis, example is. So, while cultivating our attitude, be a Buddhist, be a religious person, be a spiritual person, we have to change our attitude. We have to change our behavior. None of them change and none of them work, then you're not so religious person at all. So attitude and behavior towards wholesome action. It is advised that we make use of whatever wisdom we can find without bias or discrimination. That is something I spoke loudly, but it is a reality very difficult to do anyone. We learn and we experiencing and we learn being biased. And here we're talking about non-biased, the opposite of bias. That is something we not practice in our life. It's very difficult. Non-bias or no bias will be a bodhisattva practice. And apparently we are not really bodhisattva yet. So therefore, anything, whether country, national, individual, any decision as far as a human makes a decision, have some ingredients of bias. It is impossible without bias somebody, unless it's a bodhisattva. If it's a practice of bodhisattva, then no bias. Because bodhisattva don't hold on I and other. It become one. Bodhisattva, it's like no bias. Discrimination. When we carry bias in our wisdom as practitioners, we can fall into sidetrack. You can see whole world, any religion, you name it, there's a lot of sidetracks. There is a lot of sidetracks, and there's a lot of falls into sidetracks. By the name of religion, by the name of practice. That is my understanding or my belief system. It's nothing to do with the religion itself. It's all mixed up by who interpreting. Interpreters are confused and they're not Buddhist bodhisattva. And what do you expect when they interpret something? The interpreters are not Buddhas, bodhisattva. Don't expect that what they interpret are perfect and sinless. Don't expect that. When we carry bias in our wisdom as practitioners, we can fall into sidetrack on our spiritual path. Even that you don't believe you are fall in a sidetrack, but you may have deep down actually you may be fall in a sidetrack. Meditation is not so meditation unless you know how to meditate. Practitioners are not so practitioner unless you know how to practice genuinely, properly. Hearing Dharma, it's not so hearing Dharma unless you really hear what Dharma means. Oh, the idea of accumulating good karma through wholesome action is to purify our own afflicting emotions. Purified our own afflicting emotions means our own anger, our own confusion need to reduce, need to purify. All the practice is a focus on reducing your own negative emotions. It's recommended. But practitioners also sometimes, instead of their reducing their negative emotions, they are exercising negative emotions while they are talking, walking, believing in spiritual. Afflicting emotions. Afflicting emotions is emotions is associated with the negative. And it's not pleasant to hear by anybody. Anybody hears and they're disturbed. They don't like to hear that. That will be negative emotions. As we progress, we should see our body, speech, and mind changing or transforming in positive ways. Positive way is also another way of saying, my way of saying, actually, is be gentle. When you learn, be gentle to yourself. Be gentle yourself means actually you are very nice to yourself in a way that your body, speech, your mind are free from negative emotions. As long as your body, speech, your mind is not free from negative emotions, you're not so gentle towards yourself. Your body, your speech, your mind is confused and is disturbed. So it says that we should see our body, speech, mind changing, transforming in a positive ways. We need to be notice that we are gentle towards ourselves. When we notice, then the practice is going the right direction. If you're 100% gentle towards yourself, will be equivalent that you do not engage any harmful activities at all. That is impossible. But there is possible. It is impossible majority of people, but it is possible there. Possibilities there. Our minds, for example, we become more calm and tranquil, such as when the turbulent rapids of a river become calm, allowing the mud and debris to settle so that the water clears and one can see the bottom of the water, maybe, see the water. When our body, speech, mind become calm and purified, along with the mind, the result is that our outer action become more kind, gentle, and compassionate. This is a true that tornado brings a lot of dirt, a lot of things in the air. And if that is kind of your mind is circulating, then where is calm and abiding? That is impossible experiencing calm and abiding if your mind is like a tornado with a lot of dirt, lot of things carry, dirt and a lot of objects are flying. And we see that on the TV a lot. But same analysis, our own mind very often time experiencing that. More than you can think, by the way. More those experiences than you can even think and talk. So we become more kind, gentle. When we become more kind and gentle towards ourselves, automatically we also see kindness and gentle towards others. And that is something bodhisattva activities. So kind, gentle, and compassionate. Compassionate has an understanding, whereas ordinary beings, unenlightened beings, lack of understanding, we presume they should be perfect. And when they're making mistakes, we see those mistakes and we cannot adjust it. We will have lost it. In other words, no forgiveness, no understanding, except how bad they are. And the world should be this way, that way, this way, that way. We forgot the world should not have to listen to what you say either. This way, that way, there is a lot of that. Because you're in a tornado alley, so your speech is coming out from tornado, you think there will be calm and Biden come out? Not much, although it's possible. So it says that kindness, kind, gentle, and compassionate, backed by inner strength and confidence. Backed by inner strength and confidence. The more we have inner strength, the more confidence we're experiencing. What confidence are we talking about here? The confidence in your real day-to-day life, your real day-to-day, moment-to-moment, where is your confidence in your life? Have you ever experienced confidence in your life? Are you really happy about what you do and what you have? No, some of you are probably more than you can chew on, but you're still suffering from poverty. More than you can chew on means that you have more than you can even eat, but you are suffering from poverty shortage already. Some of you maybe you don't have much to chew on, but you're not experiencing shortage much either. And some of them, it's both. You experiencing shortage, you are really shortage. Some of them is not experiencing shortage, and they're not experiencing poverty. They're experiencing richness. So in category 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, we will have room for everybody. We get into one of these 4. Confidence. At this stage of purification, through wholesome action, we will begin to truly realize the impact of positive and negative actions. As a Buddhist, we need to believe there is such called action. We are Buddhist, we're supposed to believe Buddha's teaching, therefore there is a such called positive action and negative action. The action is our own karma. The karmas are not giving you by somebody by accident. The karmas are you created based on your knowledge. All the karmas, good ones and bad ones, we created based on our best knowledge at that time. It's just we think it's the best that time. It's not so best because you have to pay the price later on. Now, instead of working directly with your karma, is your mess, your cleaning up is a part of purification, you will try to find excuse to blame somebody else, and life after life, it's not getting better, by the way. Including long-term causes and effect. So long-term causes and effect. Naturally, we will accumulate merit and wisdom equally as a bird uses both wings to fly. That's a beautiful analysis. When bird, one wing bird cannot fly well. And majority Dharma practitioners, they don't succeed fully. It's because one of the wing, or maybe both wing, or maybe one of the wing is missing. When they're missing, how can you experience confidence in your practice? Your practice, you have to experience confidence in yourself, and then your wings are growing. And both wings are growing. So you can fly from one world, one samsara. You can fly from samsara to nirvana. In addition, we must reduce our negative emotions. And we use our negative emotions most time is with our near and dear ones, because those are the ones that seems like a connect with you. So you say the wrong word and make them more irritation and more stress. And we give as a part of Christmas gift is that we give a lot of problems to each other. So we must reduce our negative emotions. What it really means when you express communication with your near and dear ones, once and for all, you need to use what kind of word you like to hear from that person, and you use that word. Perhaps you can word respectful words, honorable words, and then maybe some good adjectives that you need to use each other. Good adjectives, not bad adjectives. Adjective. So reduce our negative emotions. In the same way that our body system works to ride the body of poisonous toxins. So it says, in the same way that our body system works to ride the body of poisonous toxins. So, same thing, that if we're keeping a negative emotions, and anger, jealous, hatred, envy, or ego, or selfishness, all of the attachment, all of those is a form of toxic. And the toxic is within the system of not only our body, but system of our mind. And that is how we confused. And that is how we polluted without solution. Pollution without solution. How we polluted ourselves is how we confused, why we don't understand, why don't we realize it. So those are the questions that are available, but the answers are seems like difficult. Unenlightened beings have hundreds of millions and billions of questions, and they all seem to like not answer them. So you sleep with not answer them, you walk with not answer them, and then you live and die without answer them. You didn't get the answer, that's what all you got. So the all answers the Buddha says is within you. Why? Because all the questions come from you too. All the questions come from you. All the answers should come from you, because there is no questions without answer. So does Buddha say. So there is no problems without solutions, even though most problems humans can't find the solution. And when they do find the solution, it's too late. Like we have a disease that we have no medicine, then years later they find the solution of the medicine, but at that time a lot of damage is already done. That will be the example. Same with the human, the pollution, negative emotion. When we realize that it was damage is already done, too far to go, and it's very difficult to change. So, in order for our confidence and faith to grow, we must practice strict moral ethics. Moral ethics is very important. And in ancient time, moral ethics is highly exercised and especially Buddha Dharma practitioners. I think the moral ethic is getting not stronger, it's so weak, and it's getting out of control all over the world. So moral ethic has a discipline, devotion, respect, and connection, connection, connection. And I give you one example. In ancient time, parents, children will never hurt parents' feelings. And we have saying, have you ever talked back to your parents? In ancient time, the children, if one children talk back to their parents, he will be a whole valley to the mountains. All the people will know that how bad that child was. These days, there are too many of that, so nobody can keep track because everybody, all the kids are fighting back to parents. Usually parents, they're fighting back is kids, they feel the parents don't know anything. And the kids, they think their own age, they know, they think they know something, they're smart, they know something. Because the parents are not talking about that and ignoring what's happening on the kid's teenage life. Parents are ignoring, therefore parents are really stupid and they don't know anything about this. Who is real smart? It's the in your classmates. They are the smart. They are the ones that you need to follow and respect that. What's the problem is what's missing here is the kids didn't realize there is age gap different, and there is a time differences. Parents' time is different, and the kids' time is different, and then that generation gap. And the generation gap makes big differences. But what I'm trying to say is when kids disrespect to their parents, then a moral ethic question is pretty much gone. If the children don't respect their parents, rest of the world, will they respect somebody else? Not so much. Although they pretend they respect because they want something from them. When knowledge or money, power, and social clamors, you have to pretend you appreciate, you like them very much, even though deep down you don't like them much. But you pretend you like them so much that you follow them. Is that a moral ethic? Not so much. It's a manipulative, and it's a manipulative pretending those things, pretending and manipulating, and those issues. There is no moral ethics. In ancient time, you trade something to each other, and a business is interesting. That I'm not saying business is bad, because if there's no business, we will not ever to get anything. Business is good, but the business, a way it works, is the maximum your product can get out. That's the goal is. So if there is a moral ethic, then it does not make sense to charge that much. I think that it should be, I'm okay with it, the little profit. That kind of will be the moral ethic comes in. But the business and the moral ethic don't go together. So they are absolutely two different things. They are opposite each other. Just like religious and politics are opposite each other. Just like samsara and nirvana are two different things and can't really compromise together. Unless you are Superman, then you can compromise together. When we plant the seed of morality and discipline, the tree of faith will grow. So handful of Buddhists in the corner of the planet Earth planting seeds of discipline and moral ethics seed says, hey, we have to respect our older ones. And we have to respect all sentient beings if we can. And we should not take advantage. Remember your moral ethics, moral conduct. So we are planting seeds. Just like here, when we plant the seed of morality and disciplines, the tree of faith will grow naturally and beautifully. We may, 100 years from now on, we may have 10 times more than what we have now with electronic things and a lot of scientists' new discovery things we may have. We may have many medicines, but shortage of moral ethics and discipline and shortage of respect, the core of a human, best part of human quality is missing. Everything else we can have, but if we don't have a respect towards our parents, or we do not have respect towards all sentient beings, the main important things in life is missing. It's almost like a bamboo. Bamboo is a nice tree, but it's a hollow. And humans are nice looking, but if they don't have any of those, the respect and morality and disciplines, the shortage of everything, it's just empty. So it looks like human, acts like human, talks like human, but the quality remains questionable. So it is called purification and accumulation of merit. So I want you to remember that your mission here is accumulation of merit wisdom. And that's something, your mission, that's something you need to work on. And side by side, purify your negative emotions. In other words, reduce your negative emotions. Reduce your anger. Reduce your jealousy. Reduce your attachment. Reduce your confusion. And that is the reason you are here. These two subjects, if you're not working either one of them or both, then you may be working something very harmful for yourself. Not so helpful. Maybe working on something not very productive. Life may be wasting. And wasting opportunity, we waste. Opportunity is there, but we waste it. So now I want everybody to meditate here and reflecting with what you heard this morning and also reflecting with your negative emotions, how you can reduce, and how you can increase your wisdom and merit. Merit is important because wanting and needing is a sign of shortage, sign of poverty. So when we accumulate a merit, then it reduces the wanting and needing get smaller, and it will be wonderful. You don't feel you need and want every day or every hour. It will be a blessing. So let's meditate. So any questions regarding accumulation of merit, wisdom, and any questions about purification, negative emotions? Please raise your hand. Yes. Gaining confidence. Confidence has something to do with fulfillment. Confidence comes, fulfillment means something you do by doing so many times, and then you begin to experiencing some result, but you might not know it's a result, but something experiencing that begin to make sense to you. Then you have confidence. But until you have that, then you can't just grab confidence from here and there. Confidence is not just gain, but some other people talking about or saying about it. Like of course, Buddhists are small, but there are other groups like thousands and thousands of people gathered on every Sunday, just like this, more guru. And then you just go with them. Do you have any confidence? You just say, well, everybody going, I'm going too. So do you gain confidence? Real confidence in a real confidence, it's still questionable. I'm not saying they don't feel good. They all feel good, I think. They feel good because a thousand people doing same thing, and the movement is the same way, singing same thing, chanting same way. Monastery, Tibetan monastery, thousands of monks are chanting. You feel like you are part of that. You're happy. But really, confidence is I have to see something much more than that. Much more than that. That will be something very personal. That will be very personal, because that kind of confidence you gain may or may not other people understand it. It's a very individual. Confidence is a very individual experience. Realization is a very individual. And I guess even understanding, it's a pretty much individual, because some that everybody understanding more or less there, but it's not be a same understanding. Two people will not have same understanding. They always have some slightly different. That so confidence is very good. As a practitioner, confident, having a confident is then you feel like. No reservation means no longer you feel like you're doing something, not sure what how it work, but you feel doing something, you know how it work. Big difference. That happened. That's a big difference. Confidence is very good. So the doesn't matter how many people planet Earth doing one religions. The among all those people, those who has a confidence are numbers less, and those are the ones really enjoying the practice more than those who don't have any confidence, but they're doing it anyway. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's my answer. Next question. Yes, sir. Yes.
It's important to understand your own mind and be gentle with yourself.
Ultimately, if you understand your mind, then you don't have any choice. You will be gentle, because knowing your mind is knowing Buddha. So you are Buddha, then you're gentle with everybody. But answering your question is, even you are not knowing your mind, you can still be gentle towards your body, gentle with your body and speech. And one way to do that is just don't get into activities that is harmful for you physically. And don't get involved with the talks that is create more problems. That will be gentle to your voice or the speech. Yes. So you can do that. And don't get too much negative emotions all the time, but more peace and tranquility. That means you are be gentle with your mind. So your mind, your body, your speech are the three most important things that you have. You know how I know that? Because the Buddha says, when you take refuge from Buddha, you give your body, speech, mind, you make that offering to Buddha in order to help all sentient beings. So your body, speech, your mind is no longer separate from the Buddha. It is already offering to the Buddha. Therefore, your body, speech, your mind should do in accordance with what Buddha said. And that will be the ultimate gentle towards yourself. Does that make sense? Yeah, well, I think it makes sense. But that's me. Okay, next question. Yes? Say again, can you repeat again? Oh, not experiencing poverty, shortage. They say in a Buddhist sutra, richness, abundance, and contentment, all of those things, is it's not particularly based on how much you have. It's what your package was. You don't have to have a lot in order to experience abundance. You can have a little bit, but you experience abundance. Whereas a counteract is that you can have abundance, but still experience poverty. That's there. That's there. Now, one important part is the richness. Is I want to share with that with you. I'm not against people have money, people have a good car, or people have own part of downtown, whatever it is. They own a lot of building. I'm not saying, oh, it's a bad you own those. I'm not saying that at all. But as long as a material facilitates what you like to do and a benefit of sentient beings, then more you have is a better because you can do more. But you can have all you want and it's not benefiting anybody, then standard example is the elephant. The elephant tusk is supposed to be valuable. But do real elephant help? No. It helps that somebody kill you. That helps. Because you have the tusk. They will kill you. So you have jewel on you. But the jewel is other people want it. Therefore, they kill you to take the task. So if you have material, abundance of material, and it's like elephant task, everybody, would you are happy? Are you happy at that point? Not really. Are you enjoying? Not really, because the elephant has elephant, what it benefits himself. I don't know, maybe push a tree a little bit. But anyway, what else the benefit is? I don't know, you tell me. But anyway, if it's not benefiting poor, neat, and it's not making offering to Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, then having Lord is having a lot of problem. Owning Lord, it says that if you own a yak, you have yak-sized problem. If you own a, goat, you have a goat-sized problem. And if you own only cat, you have a cat-sized problem. And if you don't own any of those and you don't own anything else, you probably have any concern, worry about losing something because there's nothing to lose anymore. So therefore, the person lying on the side of the road and a train station is very comfortable, by the way. The reason is comfortable, he or she knows that they can't find anything from me because there's nothing to find. Now, if you are carrying a very valuable jewelry, money, even a cell phone, it's a cell phone, iPhone, whatever it is, phone or watch and something, and try to lay down on a crowd of homeless group of people there, you are constantly worried that somebody might slowly manage to take. So this is a good, this is an example. The person can be killed and lost their life just having two coins. These two coins, if there is a guy who owned two coins. So he was sitting in a room and he visualizing that he'd like to have a thousands of this coin. But he has only two. So he's making noise, one, two, three, four. And the other side of the building, there was somebody have a little negative attitude. The person is listening. He's counting hundreds, 200, 300, right? It's worth something to go there. That's what he killed. But when they found out dead body, in their hand, there's only two coins. So he have to work for two coins to take somebody's life. Is that story? This moral story is, it's a material attachment who's the material. It's not necessarily that good, but enough to keep the material and use the material what you need to use. That's what I want to talk about that. Is that an answer your question? Not directly, but indirectly. So, that's what we need to work on. So accumulate of the merit and the wisdom. And sometimes my memory is not good. And very often times as I get older and older. But when I was young, I didn't experience a lot of shortages. So I must have a good karma. But when I try to call somebody and run out of the money, and then, oh, really? I don't have any? That kind of attacked me, but it's a short, I did not suffer long period of time, just very short. And so, going to oversee my family, not expecting that I'm sort of broke money-wise. So I try to look around, and usually any valuable I have, I auction them, sell them, so I will have, you know, few extra $100. And I done that a couple times. But I didn't really suffer really poverty too much. That the worst poverty I suffer is, I know, walking on the street and begging few pennies. Of course, I was maybe 11 or 12 years old. And back then, they give you some they don't give you any. I don't really feel like I'm dying without anything, even though I don't have home. But anyway, I didn't really suffer. That's the worst suffer, maybe, is begging some quarters and some nickels like that. I've done that. And I must have good karma. When I say I must have good karma, is that there are a handful of people that help me and support me. And that means if they're doing something out of their compassion and wisdom, but I think that they see something important, and therefore that is part of good karma. That might be a good karma. So when I say I have a good karma, that means meeting with certain people who are there, very kind to me, that means I have a good karma. Does that make sense? Thank you. Now I know, no matter how poor I'm going to be, if I lose everything, like I saw last night, some of the house kind of like completely gone. There is no more than foundation or something. Everything gone. And I end up took by the tornado, the air, water, the wind, and then land in Russia, or maybe in China, where you don't speak the language. And I find out myself life, and everybody is different. And the language is different, the clothes wearing different, the food is different. If that happened, I have such confidence in my heart that I will be survived just like anybody there. So it can be Russia, it could be China. I will have no fear, except I will enjoy right away. I will be one of them, just like that, right away. Not rich or famous, but in other words, I have such confidence that food and clothes will not be issue on my life. That confident that. So that confident maybe came from when I was begging on the street. I don't know where they come from. Thank you very much, everybody. You know, when I went to Bhutan, there is a Bhutan Nuns Project. And a Bhutan Nuns Project, there is a project. And then I asked all people will contribute something, but there are some of them that did. So I'm rewarding a picture for that. It looks like guy, you're here. You can frame that. And I have a picture with me in Kempo and Kamapa there. I also see Dawala here. Can you come this? You can frame that. I see Dr. Karen Gracila, nobody here, John Datton, I guess Dr. Duke. Okay, I'll stop here. Thank you very much, everybody. Please rise, sing a song.